In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
My name is Julie at underscore J Rosada.
Tima at teams underscore GH.
Moya at Moya's Laboratory.
And as you can see, we have some new faces this season. Woo-hoo. So, Joyce, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Joyce. If you bumped into me at an away pub, I'm also known as J-Dog from Twitter or Swifty Stones. Yeah, that's about it really at the moment. I'm trying to think of names off the top of my head, but I'll probably get some in the comments instead. Did you want a backstory too? Right, so I clearly support the best team in Manchester. A blue in London, very rare, but cool backstory. My dad's a red, actually. I actually really don't like him, so I got the blessing of choosing the opposite team. It's been a ride. I'm living the dream now. What can I say? What can I say? Anyways, come on, City.
Thank you so much. And
our new
panelist, Tiwa.
Hi, I'm Tiwa at @M_A_Lestrange. I support Arsenal, as evident by the shirt. I support it purely because no one really likes football in my family, but my cousins are Man United and Chelsea fans, so I just don't want to be any of those.
Okay, thank you, Tiwa. And to our last panelists.
Yeah, my name. I'm Philippa. I'm a West Ham fan, so very rare black female West Ham fan, but there you go. Support them because my older brother did, and basically we live in West Ham country. Like, Bobby Moore grew up on the same road that I grew up on, so there was no escaping it. I take the L's all the time, so I'm not bothered today. So yeah. That's why we're next to each other. Exactly. Emotional support. Because you are mid-table like me now.
Oh!
So yeah.
Hold up.
Okay,
hold
it. Before we get into today's agenda, of course, let's congratulate our Lionesses on winning.
Woo! Yes.
That's the only thing we've got to smile about. Anyway, okay, so let's get straight into it. Joyce, the champions took the field today. At the London Stadium. How did the game go for you?
To be quite honest, I expected nothing less. Realistically, we've obviously had a bit of struggles at the London Stadium, obviously, just before getting to the final, the end of the season, whatever. We had Mahrez miss that penalty that could have basically finished the season then and there. We lost on penalties at the Carabao Cup as well. So I kind of came in apprehensive. We had a bit of a wobbly start with Cancelo and whatever, but finally got the groove. It was really nice seeing Haaland playing deep. But obviously, I think it's kind of shown as well that we're still kind of lacking that depth, because I didn't expect him to be playing that deep in to kind of compensate for the fact that there's not really much of a solid defence. But apart from that, it's been great seeing him on the ball. Gundogan was great as well. Grealish, definitely. Obviously, a lot of people have been on us about it, and we've always said, give players that Pep signs 1-2 years and they'll be solid on it. He's been great so far, and I'm genuinely looking forward to seeing him.
Okay, speaking of Haaland, first game, brace, golden boot charge this season?
I mean, I can make the convo dead and say, yeah, of course. But realistically, I'm not even too fussed about that. Because, I mean, Salah won the Golden Boot last season, but did he win the Prem? No, he didn't. So no one really cares. To be fair, I'm more interested in seeing how Haaland plays. And it kind of overcompensates in terms of we're looking for someone to replace Aguero at the end of the day. And I literally seeing him play that one-on-one on the second goal, That kind of solidified it for me. But in terms of even talking about Champions League-wise, we're also still looking for a player that will score when we need the goals, because we all know the Champions League is mostly about luck than anything else. Is he ready to score goals when we actually need the goals to win a game?
Excuse me,
we don't know about
luck.
That. Look.
Do you mean luck?
Look, it takes quite a bit of consistency to win the Prem. You could win the Champions League on a fluke.
That's
and
not true.
Half of the time, we see Liverpool literally spawn a few goals every now and then. So,
Small statement.
Look. maybe it's a small club statement, but we obviously don't have the UCL heritage that every other team has. But we also do know that we've played good football, and everyone is very surprised that we haven't won the Champions League yet. So realistically, it is.
I'm not surprised.
Look.
Yaya Toure's agent. Yaya Toure's agent warned us that he's never going to win the Champions League. I'm not surprised. You guys have to go a pilgrimage.
No, I'm going to have to call my auntie, my grandma, the babalawo. We're going to.
I think it's Pep's sacrifice.
But yeah, no, I've been seeing a lot of that where people have been like, you know what, yeah, as much as we love winning the Prem, is it going to take Pep leaving for us to actually win the Champions League? I mean, yeah, but who knows?
Okay, Joyce, and then just the last question for you guys. In terms of Man City's squad, do you still feel like you need to add to win the Premier League title to regain it again, or do you feel like this squad is good enough?
We've got a good squad, yes, but I think as well, a lot of people kind of look at us and go, we're a bit spoiled and we're not allowed to complain, but right now we are lacking a lot of depth. We've gotten rid of a lot of people that I didn't think we were actually going to let go of. We obviously let go of Zinchenko, and I was very surprised about that. He wanted to stay. I mean, I remember standing there in the stands at the last game of the season where we're saying he would literally die for his club, and we shipped him off the next day. So, now it was something else, to be fair. And I thought, okay, so we're going to go in for the kill with Cucurella, and we never did. So I really do want to know where we're going from here, because right now, we're going to basically have exactly the same struggles and probably even worse, because we were out there playing pensioner Fernandinho on his knees when he should have been enjoying his early retirement. He was playing the defensive. It was a struggle. It was gay West. It was just bad. It was bad. But nah, like, I don't know. There's a lot of issues in terms of like management up there that I think even Pep isn't too happy about in terms of us signing and whatever. But just going to see how it goes, to be fair. And Calvin Phillips should be an interesting one to watch as well. So.
Okay, Joyce, thank you for that. And moving on to the team that Manchester City faced today. West Ham. Talk to me. How did you expect the season opener to go?
Exactly how it did. I expected us to be slow and sluggish, because if anybody saw any of our preseason games, that's how we've been operating. I expected Man City not to particularly come out the gate mad fast, but use, you know, that experience to get away a couple of goals. And we all saw Haaland. Like, I was really upset to see Areola give away that pen, because all last season we were saying, you know, Fabianski's not the number one anymore. He's too slow. He makes mistakes. And obviously, by a chance, Fabianski went off to give him that, like, opportunity.
What happened to Fabianski?
He got injured.
Yeah, to be fair, Haaland clattered him. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, the guy is a unit. So I'm not looking to get into a one-on-one with you. But Areola had the chance to prove himself, and he made a dumb mistake. I'm not going to, like, call him over the coals over it, but like it was a bit sad. So obviously City got their pen, but we didn't want it. And I'll be absolutely honest, that game was boring. It was dead.
It was dead.
And it was like, I don't know whether it's the East London Sun today or whatever, but nobody really was up for it. And it bothered me because I was like, you can't come out first day of the season at home and do that and expect us to be happy. You know, West Ham fans are mad entitled for no reason. Like, you're just going to not add to that. Like, what's the point? So, yeah, I expected it not to be great. It wasn't great. But hopefully we're going to Forest next week. And I don't want to say that they're going to be, you know, the league's whipping boys, but I feel like they're going to be the league's whipping boys and we need the confidence. So, looking forward to that.
Is it Lingard? Lingard?
Oh.
Who?
What are you doing?
Big up Jesse, though.
Why?
Just so Jamie, how
you? So yeah, Jesse, not even Hendo. That's the one that's actually coming back.
Hey,
Oregon, please.
So I've got another question for you guys. You guys have made some smart signings this window. Samaka, he did come on in the City game. How did you find his performance?
I thought he looked good. I think we have a little bit of a distribution problem in the middle, but he looked really good today and I was excited. And yeah, we made some shrewd signings, but we desperately need a left back. Like, Aaron Cresswell's like long past it and he's so slow and he cost us some serious, like some bad decisions last season in Europa League. And so it's just like, I would like to, he's obviously part of the people who make the team what it is. You know, when Jesse Lingard came to West Ham on his loan, he said that it felt like a family and I think Cresswell's a very big part of that, but it's time to move on. I'm not saying I don't trust David Moyes because actually he doesn't really have control of the purse strings. It's the Dildo Brothers who do. So,
excuse me.
So West Ham are owned by a pair of porn barons. If you didn't realise, so they're nicknamed affectionately the Dildo Brothers.
Affectionately,
yeah. You never heard that before.
I've never heard that before.
Dildo Brothers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Send you one.
And then just on the topic of transfers,
West Ham do play in four competitions this season. Mm-hmm. They're competing in the league.
Carabao Cup, FA Cup, and you did qualify for the Conference League.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you have enough in your squad to see you through those four competitions?
I don't know. We didn't think we had enough last time and we managed to make it to the Europa semi-finals. So something's going on over there. We need depth. It's sad. It's really upsetting to watch. Where it's like we've got such a small squad and then you're looking at the likes of like Spurs down the road and they're like proper backing up everything. So it's just sort of like, we'll see. Was last season a fluke? I don't know. But they said that the season before was a fluke. So maybe we are on the upwards. Mm-hmm. And I just think just a couple of defenders for me, you can let people come up through the youth because we've got a good academy. But yeah, we'll see.
Lastly, Kone, excited to see what he does for your team?
I'm excited. Do you know what? I like attacking players, but the guy can play anywhere, which is really terrifying. So, you know, like the utility players like that, like, where's your real strength? But I'm excited. I'm excited. Look, listen, we have problems signing attacking players. I think they said something like we've signed like 53 strikers since our owners have been like in management and they've only been in management for like a good 17 years. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited to see him. I liked him at Burnley. You know, it was different for Burnley. Don't want to say why, but it was different for Burnley. So I'm hoping that he enjoys London, he enjoys West Ham, and he plays his best football.
Quick question. Can he play in goal, though?
I mean, I'm sure the man can give it a go. He's everywhere.
All right, Philippa, thank you for your contribution. Good evening, where?
Wait. Yeah. I thought I was lower down in the agenda. Yeah. Good evening, Shai.
How are you?
I'm good.
Mental health?
Perfect.
Eric Ten Hag's went on me took the field today, yeah?
So we're calling them soon.
Yeah. In a 2-1 defeat to Brighton, their first win at Manchester United in their history. How did you assess your team's performance?
These lot knowing it. I put in a group chat. I said, someone started saying, I think it was Timon, she started saying Man United are back when it went 1-0 down.
Can you say it properly? Man United are.
back. And then I responded with a picture of Troy and Gabriella, and I said, I'm watching Happy Week right now. Like, this has nothing to do with me. And that wasn't a joke. I actually didn't have control of the TV. But I ended up watching the match, obviously, after the match had happened. And to be honest, when I saw the lineup, I was expecting a loss. So, like, nothing about the game was, like, shock. It was just, like, cool. The team last season was awful, and it was pretty much the same team that started. So, like, I don't know what we really expected. Eriksen, first half, I thought he looked off the pace. Second half, I thought it was fantastic. He dropped deeper and looked really good, to be honest. Some of those lot in that team, though, if I speak on number 39, yeah, I'm not going to be trying to say his name anymore. Number 39 is what he's going to be referred to. He, yeah, is not just us, yeah, not just us. He is so dead, yeah. And what I like now is that because you can see the kind of football that Ten Hag is trying to play, if you're not technically proficient, it's just very clear. Before, yeah, we had managers that the athleticism was at the, like, the thing you needed first and foremost to get to the team. Wait, Timo, I'm not ready for you yet. Before, yeah, it was just run. And if you can pass, you'll probably get into the team. Now, the fans are hating him, by the way. And he's not playing any different to how he played in 2017. So, if you know, you know. Like, McTom, I'm just going to have to pray for that guy. Shrewsbury Town is calling him. Damn. Dundee United is calling him. Hamilton is calling him. Anyway. Yeah. Fred, I prefer not to speak on him. Bruno, yeah, anyway. If I speak now, they'll call me a bully, but I've been saying that Bruno is dead since
fraud.
The beginning of time.
He's a fraud. He's a fraud. Big fraud. Yeah. Back.
Big fraud. Listen, bullying works sometimes. Word to Bruno, yeah. He is not good. The goals clouded people's brains. He isn't good. And I feel like now he's not getting goals and assists. Because even in preseason, by the way, he got no goals and no assists. So this is not a shock. There's no one they can use as a scapegoat now. This is all on Bruno. Like, yes. De Gea.
Cool.
Anyway, I can go through the whole side 11. Timo, just say what you want to say. Because at this point, yeah.
I just got 2 points. All I can say. Yeah, only 2 points. Thank you. Let me just clear my throat for this one. In pre-season, all I was seeing from Manchester United players.
Which Manchester United fans? Not me.
No, Man United players was gym this, gym that. I saw Matt Tomlin ripped, like literally, like his shorts are almost falling off. Then he's like, and Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho, all Manchester United players.
Sancho was not really on top of this, man. He was posting that Libertine. He was posting that. He wasn't posting topless.
But okay, maybe not. But like a lot of Manchester United players were like, no time off, all of that.
Yeah.
They came back and within 30 seconds, I was like, maybe they should have a whole holiday because I don't understand how they put in that performance. And now Popper's gone.
No one to blame. And I love that for us.
What's Graeme Souness's career going to be now?
That's true.
He's going to have to, his Scottish brother in arms.
That's what I'm saying. No, he should speak now when he's grown up, Tom. We'll see now.
He'll find something to say about Fred. Because you know it's Fred next.
Rashford as well.
You know it's Fred next. Come on.
The biggest show is the fact that McTominay does not get into the Scotland team as a midfielder. Let's use our brains here, yeah? Why would you not? Who does Scotland have in midfield? McGinn, Gilmore, who?
I don't even know.
And McTom is not making the team, yeah? That tells you everything.
Though, in today's game, should he have been sent off?
Of course he should. Yeah. But the referee knew that he was a bigger hindrance to us on than off. So he decided to punish us by way of leaving him on. Do you not get? Listen, when he made the tackle, I added Met Police. You can go and check my I added Met Police and I said, cart him off. But no, punishment in by way of staying on. Yeah.
Okay, Moya. Today's game.
Yes.
£60 million from Ajax in total, including add-ons. Lissandro Martinez. If in fact you paid £56,000 for playing today, that's in his contract. Every time he plays.
I heard.
Huh?
£56,000.
No, obviously, at the end of the day, that just makes 1.3 and it's not that much. It's all right. It's one of the add-ons. It's not that deep.
These agents are good, man. I need to think about my job.
They are.
Assess his debut for us.
Before that first goal happened, I actually thought he was good. I thought he looked really composed and good. Then he started moving nuts. I'm not gonna lie, like, the first goal happened and he started moving nuts. I said, what? You know, like, it's a bit awkward, like, you can't even back it. You're trying to back it so much because all he's been receiving is slander up and down. But, like, I couldn't say a word. So, I feel like once it went 1-0, he started panicking a bit. It went 2-0, he extra started panicking. And then he started just doing a lot, like, extra high line, extra passes, start shooting. He's thinking, listen, whatever way we can get a goal, this is what we're going to have to do. But there was just no cohesion. I thought him and Maguire didn't really look comfortable with each other. But can I say that Maguire in the second half was really good?
Can I just...
Like, I'm not even a hater. So.
I think, I feel like before the first goal, he suddenly realised, I'm playing in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And then started panicking.
Yeah.
It's because he saw a big man like Mensah running at him.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, to be honest,
he can handle that. That's too much African for him.
He is really small. He can't play next week, I'll be real. We're not playing him against Ivan Toney. Varane better start soaking his legs. Varane's going to start soaking his legs. Varane is fit, by the way. He's ready to play now.
Why are you forcing it? It's going to be Martinez there. It's going to be Toney just looking at everything.
The thing is what's actually killing me is that, you know, Lissandra, he's very good in the air. Like, he can jump, he's got spring in his
when he's by himself. I saw it, I watched it.
Even in the Champions League, yeah, there was a game against Benfica, he was doing really well in the air. There was a game against, I can't remember what other team it was, but it was actually quite good in the air.
Did Ajax play three at the back?
No, in that game, no. They split it, but most of the time, he can actually just play in the back too. Against Benfica, he played in the back too.
But in the Premier League, can he be playing the back two?
He can play in the back two. I think we're just going to have to be...
Against who, though?
This is what I'm saying
If you see Martinez on your team sheet, which striker are you confident that he
will go? My thing is, a lot of the tall strikers in the league aren't actually good aerially, by the way. It's like Lukaku last season. That guy's...
We don't mention him.
Lukaku's not actually good in the air, but loads of them aren't that good in the air. The funniest thing is, the best people in the air, I'm thinking off the top of my head, is like Jota. Jota's not tall. So he can play against like a Liverpool. He's played against Darwin Nunez. In the Benfica game, who do you think was their striker?
Listen, if you play him against Liverpool, it's going to be double homicide.
Even if it ends up being a double homicide, because I'm not saying it won't. Listen, you see me, I'm not making no extra shots on United. Like, even if it does, it won't be because he's short, because Liverpool's front three is not tall. It's not. It won't be anything to do with his height.
It's not tall. If he gets Nunez, how tall is he?
6'3", 6'4".
I was going to say he's a big Nunez. Boy.
How tall is he?
Nunez is not that tall, I don't think.
Is he not?
Darwin Nunez, let's check his height.
He looks
6'3".
I thought he looked tall.
It looks long to me.
Yeah.
He don't look tall.
I won't say 6'3", though, but he looks elongated, doesn't it? Elongated.
From down here, everyone looks tall to me.
Real tall, thank you.
No, but Lissandra has marked him effectively before for a whole Champions League game. So it's not...
But even if change circumstances, that's like him at Benfica versus him at Liverpool.
I hear that, but it's the same... You don't think Darwin is just changing his game? He's playing exactly the same, by the way. Dodgy touch, dodgy this, but he knows how to score goals. There's nothing he's doing different to what he was doing at Benfica. Nothing. And trust me, I watched so many comps because I thought he was coming to United. So I'm telling you this.
let's get back to United slander.
Darwin Nunez is in fact 6'2".
Hey, see? Listen, from down here, I know height.
That's fine. That's fine. Anyway, look. Varane's local. Varane's local.
How long? I give it 2 games before his knee starts to start.
No, we're going to have to start doing one, in, out, shake it all about. You don't do every game. He'll play one, he'll go off one. You know what I mean? Him and Lissandra might have to start rotating.
Okay. Sorry. And speaking on United, in press conferences, Ten Hag has come out and said that he is happy with his squad, but he would like more additions. When a manager comes out and expresses that he's happy with his squad, does he then take on the responsibility of how poor the team looks?
Half and half, because I think his whole statement makes sense. All he can say, he's not going to be like, I hate this squad so much, bring me more. The most you can actually say is, I like the players I've got, but him saying I want more tells you everything you need to know. Like, he's been very clear that he wants a holding midfielder. He's said it outwardly, do you know what I mean? So there's only so much he can do.
If you compare that to, example, Conte at Tottenham, who threw his toys out the pram in order for his squad to improve, do you feel like Ten Hag needs to take that approach with United?
It's half and half, because I feel like that's just within Conte's character. I feel like if Ten Hag starts acting like that, it's a bit out of character for him. I'm not saying don't demand stuff. He could be demanding stuff behind closed doors. But like him coming out and say, like, everyone knows he wants more players. So him coming out to say it doesn't really change anything. We know he wants, the club knows he wants more players. So it's just like,
you're driving mad. You'll see it, the red will now show on his head.
Yeah, he's definitely pissed right now. He's definitely annoyed. And I think the fact that the whole pivot came off speaks volumes. Like, the fact that none of the pivot finished the game is insane.
No, but can we say, why is it always Fred coming off first? He's the better of the two.
Completely agree. But I think it was just, I think it came down to length. Like, as we were saying before, like, McTominay at least brought some height. I'm actually surprised he was on because he had a yellow so early. But, yeah, I really don't know with those two. Fred is definitely better than McTominay, though. Definitely.
The right-back situation. Dalot in the game today. How did you find him?
I'm not a Dalot fan. There's nothing that... I'm not a Dalot fan. I don't think he's lit. I think, you know what I mean? Like, in pre-season, I think him and Sancho were linking up really well. So I could see where he could be good. He's not good defensively, though. So, yeah. And then with Wan-Bissaka, boy.
Spider, innit?
Boy.
Running back.
All I can say is boy. Because he looks scary on the ball. Really scary on the ball. I'll be honest with you. Like, really, really scary on the ball. He's a Premier League player. Like, you know that sometimes we're like, oh, get that guy to Shrewsbury Town or get that guy to this. He should not go to Shrewsbury Town. He can definitely play
in Premier League player for Norwich, yeah.
He needs to play for a club here that is mainly defensive. Like, there's a reason it looked good at Crystal Palace. Mm. Yeah. You know those games that they, like, for example, that season, Crystal Palace beat Man City and they had like 26% possession. Yeah. Yeah. You know that means you're just slide tackling the whole, and that's what he loves.
Yeah.
Like, in what top team year are you going to be slide tackling 24-7?
That's what he was doing.
And that's why he's not on the team right now. Do you get what I mean? That's what he's doing, and that's why he's not on the team right now. Like, no top team wants that from their player. So, yeah, we're going to have to buy someone. But, boy.
Where's he going to go there? He's not going back to Palace. He'll die there. He can't play there.
Yeah, they said he was going to go back to Palace, but Vieira said, don't know what happy who we got.
So, personally, who are you thinking, like, left back wise, who would you want?
As a right back, no?
Right back?
As a right back.
Yeah, right back.
Okay, right back then.
It's tough because I see the...
Cedric. You give you Cedric as well.
We want to go back to Betis, he says.
Man's on the fashion show week.
No, Cedric, innit?
Forever.
Did he play for Arsenal?
Which one?
Hector.
Apparently.
Man's there, innit?
Hector Bellerin.
Apparently.
He's still signed.
I think, yeah. I'm not actually sure which right back I want. Like, I've not even thought as far as to think this is who I want, but I feel like there's certain things that need to be at the top of the list when you're buying a right back. Like, you see when we bought Tellez, and then United fans started saying, oh, he's so slow. He never looked quick, by the way. Like, if anyone would have watched him just once for Porto, he looked slow. And that was in Italy. So I don't know what they thought. That's what I'm saying. Like, pace needs to be up there. Athleticism needs to be up there.
Yeah.
And then the ability on the ball needs to be up there. That's what every good right back has. And so that should be the criteria. And then you just go from there.
Did anyone else watch Manchester United today?
Yeah.
In terms of Timo, as someone that's supposed to be top four rival to you guys, watching
Stretch.
United today. Watching United today, as a Chelsea fan, do you fear? Do you feel anything?
Quaking my boots.
Do you know what? Like, I thought, I had a nap just before the Manchester United game, but I thought I woke up in 2021. Like, I was like, this is exactly the same team. They're playing exactly the same way as they did under Uncle Ralph. Under Ollie at the wheel.
Mr. Moisey.
I don't know if I would. But it's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same patterns. My Ghanaian brother bullied that back line.
So, Welbeck is actually, when it comes to movement, no one can deny it. The guy is a good striker when it comes to movement.
Yeah.
The reason he gets corned is because of the finishing.
The finishing.
And he still didn't score today. You're being nice. It's not even finished. It's everything on the ball.
Yeah.
Everything on the ball. Because he's a beast of a centre forward.
That's
but
the thing.
On the ball, he is.
And he still didn't score today. As good as he was.
Yeah. And
still
I still say it. Rashford's on that same pitch. I told you before. That's his future right there. He saw it.
Oh, God.
Cool.
And then Timo Junior, did any of you have time to watch United today?
Yeah, I watched it. They were hilarious.
Do you feel like United could potentially rival Arsenal in the league for a European place?
You see, I'll say yeah because it's still Arsenal in it. So, on bias,
yeah.
No, but it's United in it, so they're a bit annoying. But off that showing, good God, I'd be hilarious if they get conference.
I won't lie, let me be real. Arsenal fans saying this is just very rich Because when you lot had lost your first three games here, you were Talk. Still coming with him. Preach. You were still coming with confidence with him.
Honestly.
Listen, no, I'm saying for you lot to be like, oh, it's done, conference, but you were telling us, even still with three games left, we're definitely getting champions.
Okay, so where's your own?
Louder.
I love this song.
That's what you were telling us.
Come on. We have chest. Oh, yeah, where's your own?
No, I don't. Listen.
Keep running back one more time.
You've got no anyway. I don't use my spirit to back people that don't want to back themselves. And that's the difference between me and Top Reds. These lot don't respect themselves. You want me to be on this sofa shouting, oh, I don't love a thing. Until they change, they're getting no love from me.
You got a nice hit once there.
What about Uncle? What about Uncle Sue?
Yeah. Oh,
you even gave him Uncle. Remove that. Oh, exactly. Just Sue.
Mr. Sue. Mr. Sue.
The thing is this, yeah, the club should have been making strides to sign someone as soon as we got Europa League confirmed, because every single person on this earth knew he did not want to play in Europa League. So as soon as we got Europa League, Europa League.
Are you playing in Europa League?
Yeah, we're conference.
Oh, sorry, man.
We lost on the last day, but because these lot lost,
yeah,
we still got. We didn't pattern it. They were winning at first. In fact, as soon as top four was out of the equation, they should have been looking for someone, because he was never going to play. He was never going to want to play in that thing. But like, the problem is, a lot of clubs don't necessarily need a Ronaldo. The kind of clubs you can go to, they don't need a Ronaldo right now. So whilst he's saying that we're like chaining him down, there is not a long list of people begging for him right now. So like, we're caught between two right now, because he wants to go, that's fine. Tell a club to bring money, that's the problem. So what do you want us to do?
Legit though, where is he going though? Like, where is he going?
On the bench.
Now he should do it. He should be on the bench.
He's the Real Madrid ultras. They will chase him out of that place quicker than he can.
He's strong. He can run.
No. Real Madrid ultras, they don't play.
But I don't get why he's being extra. Do what Suarez do. Go home.
He's not. One thing with Ronaldo, I'm not saying he shouldn't rate himself, because he should, but he rates himself more than any footballer on this earth. There's a certain level he won't go to. Like, he's not going MLS right now, because to him, MLS means you're finished.
They're all about Sporting.
I mean, did you see that clip of Tony the other day?
They were saying, he said he'll take a pay cut. That pay cut will still mean that he's on 380k. You think Sporting, yeah? Sporting probably don't even pay anyone more than 80k.
That's a stretch.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help him, and it's not working.
I said on the transfer show, and I think this is the perfect description. He's like Mary and Joseph the night before Christmas. No room at the inn. Nobody wants him. You understand?
That's tough.
Listen, the guy's a good player. He will score goals for NEC. I thought he was going to go to Chelsea, to be honest.
Hey,
man. I did.
You guys don't need a striker, actually. Yeah, there you go.
No, thank you.
I did think he was going to go to Chelsea.
For what
and
reason?
I wouldn't have been.
Champions League as well, no?
To do
Champions
what?
League.
Champions League.
He said he wanted to strike. He wants to play Champions League.
Okay.
Everyone wins.
You're in the market,
aren't
you?
I need a striker.
Why doesn't he go to Tottenham then?
They've got a striker.
Can you imagine Kai Havertz playing to Ronaldo?
He's trying. You think. He's looking at it and saying, displacing Kane or displacing Havertz / Brozier. Come on.
He ain't coming here, man.
I don't know. The way your owner's moving, he seems to be looking at everyone. Next to names, like,
he wants everyone.
Our owner is hungry. He's not thirsty.
You think he's so?
A word.
Okay. Let's move on from Manchester Red.
Manchester Red.
Let's go to North London. Mikel Arteta's Arsenal kicked off the league. Away to Crystal Palace, a game in which they lost 3-0 last season.
Tough.
Julie, what do you reckon of this new look Arsenal with the likes of Zinchenko, of course, and Gabriel Jesus? You know, our charity donations.
Your opinion?
No,
donations.
You know what? Yeah, I'm not reactionary in it. So I'm not gonna get too gassed. You know, like Faye likes to say, you know, title charge. No. That's not what it is. Like Tiwa said, it's just Arsenal. Like, I'm still gonna have that bit where they just make my heart beat so fast, because they're just calamity sometimes. But for an opener, it was really good, because Palace away is a tough game. It's always tough for us anyway, in general. But yeah, I think Zinchenko was really good. Really, really good.
First off.
Please, let her finish.
Did you let me get to the second? No, you didn't even look. Okay. Like Moy wants to finish me, but yeah, first half he was really good. Second half fell off a little bit. Hazy started really good. Really good. It was crazy because watching like at the end of the game, the way Neville and Carragher were bigging us up, I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, what's going on here? But yeah, in general, I think we started off really, really well. Like it was a great team unit, you know? But yeah, I can't complain. I can't complain.
Tiwa, any different opinions?
Yeah, I can complain. That number was his number in the midfield.
We don't say that. That
one there.
Oh, yeah. That one there.
Hashtag 34.
Every time I looked at him, I was just, why are you still here? Like, why are you still here? Yeah. He's just there taking up space for no reason. It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she's freedom, not here to because this one, every time I have to fight her for that guy, I don't see. 7 years and he's still here.
Honestly.
Wow.
No, realize all the time.
That makes sense though. Wow.
Deep it.
Okay, and then to the Arsenal ladies, how convincing do you think that first performance was? Do you think Arsenal made a statement to the league? Do you think they still look the same as they did last season? What's your assessment?
I don't know if a statement, but it was just the fact that I think everyone kind of assumed opening night, Crystal Palace, this is like a 2-0 Arsenal loss.
Yeah.
So the fact that we won in and of itself is an improvement. Now, is it one statement? Not really, but it was a good win. They played well for like a good chunk of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. I like Jesus. One thing I'm going to slightly keep there is like the dribbles and dice.
Too much.
To shoot.
Yeah, that's too much of it.
That's one of the small things because he was balling, but the taking the shot off didn't really come off enough for me. But other than that, I think he was dope. Zinchenko, him being there tells me, and what happened with when Tierney came on, showed me exactly how things are going to go with them too. If he's going to start a game and we need to kind of end it, Tierney will not come on and actually do the actual defending part. So I'm fine with that. Ben White wasn't horrible at right back. It was all right. It was like I expected worse. So I enjoyed that. But, you know, the star of the show was still my boy Saliba. So.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll get to that. Julie, any different opinions?
I don't think it's a statement. It's a bit big word for Arsenal. But yeah, I agree with everything she said. I don't think we've made a statement. I think we're just showing that we can do it when we put our mind to it and just not.
Jeez. Also, just the enjoyment of actually having a striker.
Yeah, of honestly,
actually
having
a striker. Like, he didn't score, but the kind of the joy of seeing Jesus there and not Lacazette was just angels are singing in my head.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Because someone who can run. And probably not like someone who runs to the midfield and is like, you know what, I'm done.
Taking a deep breath.
I'm sure everyone else sitting on the couch today all watched the Premier League season opener.
Yeah.
No.
What was your assessment of the game though?
First half, I thought Arsenal were really good. Really good. Like, I was genuinely impressed. But like, to be fair, I was impressed, but I wasn't surprised. I think I was watching you guys in pre-season. And to be honest, like, I know they say don't get hyped on pre-season, but the actual attacking patterns of play that you guys were doing in pre-season, I feel like they just translated straight over to the league opener.
Yeah.
So I thought you were really good. I thought Zinchenko, like, his technical level is just so, so good. And I feel like, to be honest, all of your new signings, the technical level has just been raised in the team. Yeah. To be honest, and that's where I'm jealous from. That's the bit that I'm jealous about. Because as you were making the signings as well, I was just thinking, technical level's gone up. Level's gone up. And to be honest, like, we saw that in fruition. Second half, I thought Zinchenko started struggling. Like, maybe like after the 50th minute, he started struggling. I don't know if it's like a fitness thing, like he was gassing out. I think he's probably had to run. He had to run a lot in that game. Because IU actually started taking him for chips.
Yeah, so, literally.
Yeah.
You know when you come from a team where you have the ball 80%.
He's
giving it to him.
Yeah, proper giving it to him. I thought Ben White was good. Like, I feel like a lot of people were speaking about, oh, he got, like, dribbled past a couple times in the second half. But I feel like for the most part, he stopped.
Yeah.
Zaha. And he was frustrating Zaha, which was good.
Yeah.
I'm saying before people forget, is like, we expect Ben White to be taken. Yeah, literally. But he wasn't to the full extent. Yeah, and that for me already is good. I expected him to get ripped. Yeah. He didn't, so we run it.
No, you lot looked good. I thought Palace, when it was 1-0, Palace definitely, like, how Palace didn't equalise, I will never know. The Edouard chance, how he missed, I don't know. There was another chance.
Eze.
I'm not gonna lie, Eze stunk. Yeah. Eze stunk. And I'm a big Eze fan. He was whack. Like, first of all, he was doing a lot. And also, when he was getting into the position that he needed to not do a lot and just execute, he wasn't doing it.
Palace really, really missed Gallagher. And it's sad that he's going to go and sit and, like,
Conor Gallagher, come and see him.
But it's really sad that you lot aren't going to play him, because I think he slotted into that Palace team
perfectly well.
Yeah. And shout out to his other Caucasian brethren, Anderson. Anderson's passes, his balls were so precise.
That's what they told us Maguire did. That's what Leicester told us Maguire did. And that's why they brought it in.
But it's just like, you could really see, like, if Gallagher was in the middle of the park at that point, Anderson's balls and then moving forward, it would have been a different game.
Yeah.
But they were so, it was just so sad to see, like, Palace did so well last season. Everyone's like really hyping Vieira for what he's done with the squad. And it's just like, they're just off the pace. Not saying that Arsenal didn't play well, because you did, but it was like, that was not a proper Palace.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that Selhurst Park is one of those Premier League venues where it's just you get in and you get out?
Yeah, 100%.
No one's trying to play well. Collect your 3 points
and go. Legit.
However you collect
them. If it's a handball, especially
in league, take it and run. Anyone having like too much headache over this game, you don't know what you're doing it for.
Yeah.
Okay, and a 2-day trending topic on football Twitter: a man of the match performance, a debut performance. William Saliba, what
are your
thoughts?
I've prayed for times like this, man.
Honestly. the battles I've been having.
I just can't believe he used to play him in our academy and then just shipped him off.
And he got sent off in that academy.
I remember. I was saying, because I've been fighting for time. Even for when he was at 18, I said he was going to be our best centre-back. I was mad. The sending off, because I watched it, because I was that invested and annoyed at Arsenal. It was one nonsense, what, 2 yellow cards? There were some people said, oh, that's why he's there.
Yeah.
Oh, he must be. Because,
his
no,
attitude.
It was a 1-2
blah,
thing
blah.
That happened, whatever, it happens. And he was also just annoyed because he's come from playing senior ball and you shipped him down to that under 21.
Like 21.
So he was vexed. But there, and that, he had one loan too many in my past. To be honest, he had any loan too many. Mm. But I could handle one. Mm. He did it too many times to my liking. And he came back and he showed out. Because he showed, like, he's the best defender at our club. It wasn't even close, because I love Gabriel, but I'm fully aware of what Saliba can do.
Yep.
At 21, he's bigger than him, he's faster than him, he's better at the game, he's better at damn near everything. Yeah. Except for the fact that maybe Gabriel's a bit more in your face.
Mm-hmm.
He's linked to Juve, isn't he?
I don't care who he's linked, which one?
Gabriel.
He ain't going anywhere. Juve ain't got money. He's not going anywhere.
These Italian clubs find money from somewhere.
Embezzling.
Look, the mafia nonsense don't work here, so that's not it's not happening. Oh. It's going to be Gabriel and it's going to be Saliba. Ben White can hold right back or stay on the bench in it. That's going to be the pair for me. Okay, like, Saliba was clear. His aerial ability needs work, but actually he's 21 in it. We'll work on that. It's fine. But everything else, like, you can't fault the guy. I've just been waiting for so long for a centre-back pairing of height. 6'4", 6'3". How long, I don't know, have Arsenal been trying to fake it with these 6'1", 5'11" nonsense that's happening? I don't understand it.
5'8". 6'1". We're rocking with 5'8". Round half.
I say who forced you? Because we were willing to him. He was going to be left-back. You people want centre-back. Hold that.
It's true. This is better for he's look, to be honest, he's let me just continue.
I can't argue.
But Saliba made it look so calm, and
he was so chilled, like for a first game as well, like your debut, he was so calm, and then to get man of the match, it just proved everyone wrong.
And lastly on Arsenal, what can we expect from Arteta this season? What should be the expectation? And if he doesn't match it, where has he failed?
I think we should be getting top four.
They should.
See what? Not saying I want them. She said they will, but they should.
Yeah, like my expectation
to say what kind of hate is this? How is that a crazy shout?
So she can't expect it. Me, I expected it last season.
I literally said nothing.
You hailed very sharply.
Like, it cut you.
It's a bit, you know, the air in here is a bit. I need to.
Me, I expect
No, I mean, last season, I don't think. No, I don't think I expected it. You know, I've sat here, I've said, even if we barely get top six, I hear it, but...
But then you did change towards
the end, because you're seeing the wins.
She was sipping the Kool-Aid.
But of course, yeah, at the end, I changed, of course, fully.
That's when Faye's like saying, are you still Arteta? Are you still Arteta?
Literally, I literally
ignore
her.
To be fair, Arteta's in or out.
Can you let them...
Shake it all about.
I don't know.
They're Arteta in, man, let's be real.
They're there, you know, yeah.
Because I've never really agreed with Arteta. Everyone knows that I've never agreed with Arteta. I've just literally been on the sidelines, on the fence. But I mean, he's got a plan. He knows what he's working with. He knows where he's going. So I can only just support that because obviously it's working for now.
Yeah.
We just got to see till mid-season, end season. Then we'll kind of know where he's at. But we should be getting top four. That should be the aim. Like he's got on all these signings and probably more because that's the aim. He wants to get top four. So...
And a trophy or not? If you just get top four, you'd be alright with that. No trophy, just top four.
Trophy? What trophy? The FA or the Cup?
So I'm saying that it's top four cool. That top you'd four be is, happy.
I'll be top content, four, no trophy. But we should be getting a trophy as well.
Which one?
FA in it, Heritage
Europa.
They don't have that. Do you know what you can win Europa?
We can.
We won't.
But I don't think we will.
That Arteta guy, look.
I think I've been Arteta
when he first came and that fell away very quickly. So me, I don't trust him. I still don't. Yeah, he's been doing. Like still, he's got his plans. He's been doing things here and there. So I can't like. I don't like beat him up as much as I used to. But I still don't like even from the game like the opener. How long did he actually decided made to sub? Make, it's like certain things he does. I don't 100% like. The Europa thing is what I'm kind of judging because like. Champions League for me is a must. He hasn't got a choice. That's for me. You have to get it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't care. You have to get it. That's my whole kind of thing on it. And Europa League, you've been getting slapped up every single time you're in it. It's you.
Literally.
It's you. Everyone else. Emery, even I hated him. He got to the final. Wenger, he was there. You are there getting slapped up by Olympiacos and I don't know who else you decided to get lost to. It's like, nah. I mean, I'm looking at you now. Like, respectfully, in that competition, who's in it with us? It's you. Yeah. And other men I don't care about.
Roma that everyone needs to be worried about.
Jose knows how to win it.
Came what mid-season and won it.
It's a case of with Europa. For me, whether it happens or not, he has minimum in semi-finals. I don't care if Jose's there. Minimum, he's been there too many times doing that nonsense. By force, he has to get there.
Yeah.
Have you seen the All or Nothing episodes?
Yeah, it's calm, isn't it?
Interesting.
How do you feel like seeing him behind the curtain and stuff?
Because I have a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I thought it was. He's a massive nerd.
You haven't watched it. I just want you, there's a scene in there, yeah? Where he gets a whiteboard and he draws the heart and the brain hold hands.
But do you know what it is? As much as people clown for it, beat Tottenham 3-1, so it worked.
Like, it did work. I'm not gonna lie, it worked.
It was passion hype for North London derby, and it worked.
No, the North London derby was the cameraman, weren't it?
That's true, the cameraman was that one.
The heart was the same match.
So what was
the same match?
No, the heart was Norwich. And you won 1-0.
Don't do that. Because the what's called the cameraman thing, I loved it. I get it. Like, that's, you know,
Derby,
I understand that. The heart and the brain thing, yes, again, passion, I understand. But you, man, are playing the whipping boys. What are you doing?
We were 3 games on the bounce.
Zero goals. Zero goals. Zero chances.
Let's wrap up.
What was he doing towards the end of the season then? What was the brain and the hands doing?
Can you let me watch? Let's wrap up with Arsenal.
You're trying to bring in all or nothing.
Honestly.
Let's move
along. Timo. New season.
Yep.
Same Chelsea.
Same boring football.
Koulibaly.
Out of pocket.
Experienced centre-back in Cucurella, in Timo Werner, out.
Mm.
Transfers. How are you feeling? Like, starting to feel better?
I think the thing about Chelsea's transfers, they're all on the pitch at one point yesterday, and you can see that the levels, they improved the squad. I think, actually, I don't know about Cucurella, but the other two are world-class signings.
Who's the other one?
Sterling and Koulibaly. I think they're world-class. And you can see everyone else around them is not quite at that level, other than Thiago Silva. Thiago Silva, 38 years old, getting man of the match. It's unbelievable. And I think if we get Fofana as well, rock solid defence.
Are you happy to spend over £80 million on Fofana?
I think we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice at this point.
Then do you look back and question Chelsea's business and think,
absolutely.
Where he's gone, Tomori's gone, now we've spent £80 million yeah. replacing what we could have had for free.
Yep. Yep. But that's it. I mean, Chelsea under Abramovich was a bit erratic towards the end. Mm. Some of those dealings were crazy. Mark Guehi could have been there. As you say, Tomori could have been there. Even Cowell. I'm glad he's only gone on loan, but there was talk about him actually being sold with a buyback clause. Yeah. I don't understand. He's 18 years old. He's played amazing in the Champions League. Why is he not back up? Why is Malan Sarr still at my club? Why is he still registered as a Premier League footballer? Why do Fulham want Malan Sarr after seeing him last season?
Because they're Fulham.
Yeah.
Apparently Fulham are getting William.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, Timo. And then, as mentioned, Fabrizio did report today, Timo Werner back to Leipzig. He did give it the here we go. We're not here short of the fee yet.
25 mil.
Personal terms have been agreed. From
25 mil.
Wait, how much did you buy him for?
54.
Dogs.
Yo. Dear.
Another, would you say Werner's Chelsea career was a bust? Did it have success in parts? Was the part that gave you hope?
I think just on the, in terms of the transfer fee and stuff, I think, as I said, towards the end of Roman Abramovich, his era, the signings were erratic. So that's not going to be the last loss. That's not going to be the last L Chelsea take. But I think in terms of clearing, if you're going to clear out the deadwood, you're going to have to take it. Yeah. So if that's what he goes for, that's what he goes for. Personally, I think Chelsea need to be careful in the attacking options. There was a lot of talk of, so he's gone, Cho wants a loan move, Ziyech wants out, and so does Pulisic.
And Lukaku obviously is.
We don't speak of that name. and so we need to be careful in terms of, this is a very long season and we need depth. So in my opinion, maybe if Werner goes, I'm not sure anyone else can go unless you're bringing someone else in.
Yeah. And speaking of bringing people in at Stamford Bridge, now that Werner's gone, Cho potentially be loaned to Dortmund and Southampton are the two clubs he's linked to at the moment. Ziyech looks to be on the way out as well. That leaves Kai Havertz, Raheem Sterling and Broha.
And Pulisic.
And Mount. Mount's more of a midfielder for me, but yeah, I get it. Who do you want Chelsea to bring in?
I don't know, you know. I don't know how to answer that question. I think potentially we're trying to do too much in one window. I think this is not going to be a quick fix. This is going to take two, maybe three seasons to kind of really get that squad in a position that is going to be ready for a title challenge or ready for consistent title challenge.
Wait, Paul, seasons or windows?
Seasons.
Oh, Lord.
Interesting.
Seasons. There's a lot of surgery to do. There's a lot of surgery. And I feel that Todd Bowley going for dinners and all of this stuff. Literally.
Hosting dinners.
Yeah, for dinners.
We're for the streets. Chelsea are for the streets. Our business is out there, man. Honestly.
Yeah, but then that dinner leads to you getting Cardi.
No, we're working the corner for Barcelona. You understand? We are working the corner for Barcelona. And it's so, honestly, it's so embarrassing. as soon as Laporte said Koundé is going to Chelsea, I knew he was going to Barcelona. I was like, it's done. Why? Because why would you come out and say that? That means you know he's going to Barcelona. So then the Barcelona fans can be like, anyway, if you want to get married at the Nou Camp, go ahead. But yeah, no, I think going back to Timo Werner, I think it's really sad. I really liked him. I think he had something to offer Chelsea. It's just sad that he's gone out this way. But, you know, thank you for the memories and good luck.
What memories? That's Southampton. No way. That's it.
I know, Real Madrid last season as well. He played and he started his career very well. It just went downhill very quickly.
It was when he said he met the giant centre-backs and he was scared. It just told you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He won the Champions League. He won the trophies.
Okay.
Focusing on the Everton game that you did play, 1-0 win away to Frank Lampard. Not a happy hunting ground for Chelsea. You haven't won it since 2017. How did you assess your season opener?
I could have slept. I honestly wish I just went to sleep, because at the end of the day, like, the game was terrible. If you was a neutral watching that, why don't you have plans on a Saturday night? Like, you should have been out there working Shoreditch, go into central London, do
working
what you
know. Excuse me,
I don't know. Go meet Todd Bowley for dinner, man. I don't know, man. Just anything but watching that game was terrible. It was awful. The only good things were the signings.
So, do you think Ben Chilwell's time's up as a starter?
I think Ben Chilwell needs time to come back. And I'm so glad we have a capable left back that is going to step in and really raise that bar in terms of competition. He's definitely not ready in terms of what I saw, the performance. And neither is Reece James. He was also a bit stinky yesterday.
Not ready, but as in I know what I'm saying, not ready for Chilwell, but like Reece James.
Reece James, he was stinky. Very stinky. We had like 100 corners and they went nowhere.
Another player that fans are talking about, fans that listen to us, Kai Havertz. Is it a make or break season for him?
I wouldn't say make or break. I think it's a big, big season for him. Big season. Especially if Chelsea don't get another striker. You need to be doing something. You have no competition. It's you. So what is your excuse if you're not scoring at least 15 goals? Because Lukaku scored 15 goals last season. If you're not reaching those levels, oh. But again, I don't know whether he is number nine, false nine. I think Chelsea needs to change their system, to be honest. To make those attackers work and click, Chelsea need to change the system. It works for the defence, doesn't work for the attack.
What would you change the system to?
4-3-3.
4-3-3. And if Tuchel does then change to that 4-3-3 and your attackers are still not clicking, it would have been, two seasons and a half.
Mm.
Do you guys then, as a fan base, start to look at Tuchel and be like, no. What are you teaching them?
No.
No?
Because these attackers weren't clicking under Lampard either. This is not just a Tuchel. Pardon? Yeah.
Lampard's rubbish, though.
Yeah, of course. But still, they're not clicking. That's two managers you're not clicking. I ain't going to go for a third. I'm not going to risk a third. Like, you might as well just get quality attackers. You can see Sterling is going to work. He's going to work. But the problem is, no one else is on his level. So he's making runs, he's making movements, and he's looking around, looking at these dusty players beside him, man.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's really sad to see. I feel really bad for him, man.
And then, Joyce, just a quick question for you again.
Yep.
As a City fan, are you particularly worried that you gave three of your better players. Maybe not your best.
Let's talk about Manchester that because
City. You gave three of your better players
to the top six.
To a top six rival. Do you think that was naive from Pep? Do you think it was his decision?
I mean, I know that obviously I'm pretty sure they do speak to Pep about it, but I definitely don't think he has the final say in some of the stuff. But we also do have that mentality of if a player wants to go, we just have to let him go. And they wanted more minutes. They're not going to find it anywhere else outside of the big six, to be fair. And I don't think I could have ever seen them playing outside of the UK, to be fair, as well. So it's hard to see, to be quite honest, especially for players like Zinchenko, because at the end of that season, I definitely had a bit of an attachment to him as well. But for players like Jesus, it's like I kind of saw that coming as well. Because obviously we bought him to fill in the shoes of Aguero and he never really did that, to be fair. And it's crazy to see the kind of standard that we play at where he seems really great to the Arsenal lot and he's doing all these things. And to us, it's basically the same thing and it was never really enough. And that just like goes to show the kind of quality of football that you have to play in order to be a starter at Manchester City. But am I afraid? I don't know. I think there's a lot of missed chances and I definitely want to speak about Cucurella going to Chelsea. I do think in the end we're probably going to regret not going after it anyways. I know we stood our ground by not folding and offering a bit more, but the way you started when you got put on definitely was something that I was like, yeah, we needed something like that definitely at the back. But
you can always take Marcus Alonso, man, if he's available.
We've had offers for a regular Don. I'm not interested. Literally, if we have to do another season where we're having to work players to the bone in order to fill in spots until we can finally find someone, because I feel like it's Chelsea and I have the same situation when it comes to having to replace players. It's not a quick fix in the same way where we had loads of depth to be quite honest, and it's not something that you can easily fix by going into the market and going, right, we're going to see whoever's fairly young has the ability, because we have so many new signings so far that I have been worried, are they going to click? Are they not? So just want to see how things go for the moment. And we've got Phillips, we've got the regular starters as well. We've got Laporte that's injured, but I don't really care. And yeah, that's about it, really. I'm just going to try and watch and see how that goes, to be fair. We're going to have a lot of players that are going to be playing out of position again. But
come get Emerson, man. He's also doing nothing.
Pep has his own way of working things out. So I'm going to trust the process and hope that.
Okay. And a few questions from our listeners that I hope everyone on the panel can contribute to. Given that Chelsea was the topic, right? So we start with the Chelsea questions. First question, I suppose Tima can take lead and then if anyone wants to contribute after that, go ahead. Are Chelsea the underdogs of the season?
What? Ooh. No. No. I think Chelsea will fulfil the role that they are going to fulfil.
What is that role?
It's a very good question.
It's the only logical question after what you just said.
I think Chelsea will get top four, and that is...
Second, third, or fourth?
Not second. I think fourth.
Fourth?
I think so.
Who's going to finish above Chelsea?
Obviously the top two, like Man City, Liverpool.
Third card?
It's not really honest.
United!
That counts.
Wolves are going to be finishing. I don't want to run it back. I think it's going to be the same top four as last season, but with Tottenham finishing above us.
Okay. Anyone else see Chelsea as underdogs for the season?
No. What does that even mean?
He's going to say
they're
fine underdog.
What
does it mean?
I'm not
recording
you, but all of you guys are haters.
Underdogs outside the Premier.
Basically, are people underestimating Chelsea and their capabilities?
For
winning trophies, for finishing top four.
I won't be surprised if you win a trophy. Won't be surprised if you come top four. Like,
there's nothing surprising. Like, you're going to do what you have to do.
If you would win the league.
A lot of people don't even think Chelsea are going to finish fifth.
But that's crazy.
Yeah, people who don't watch football should be in it.
Okay. And then the second question is, could there be a three-horse title race?
No.
Joyce,
do you want to answer that one?
You know what? Nah, I'll be so real. Oh God. Like, we've had weird reports the other time saying that, oh, like, if Liverpool weren't that great, City would be basically walking the league or whatever. I don't think people have the minerals just yet to be fighting even amongst Liverpool, let alone City. But you know what? We'll see how things go. We'll donating some of our players to you guys.
We definitely paid money.
Okay, but giving away some of our we'll say important players, especially for last season, stab us in the back. We'll see. But in terms of us, I do see it just being another season of Liverpool City at it again, as always. Tired.
Anyone else
tired. No.
Nah, I agree. I do want, sorry, just want to add to that point that Joyce just said as well. Yeah, I do find it really annoying that, like, you know, that how you guys gave, not gave players, but like you lost players to Chelsea, Arsenal, and
two players to Arsenal
this week.
I mean, to be fair, we loaned out a few players to Southampton, but
yeah, you could sell them. You could sell those players to those two teams here because neither of those teams are your like
direct threat
like, and that direct rivals. The thing I hate so much about United, is that you guys will free up Yash
to everyone.
The two best teams in the league, yeah, we will never get any of their players because we're literally there like. Liverpool never give us a player. Like, why would Liverpool sell us a player? Yeah. That is good, by the way. Of course, they'll sell us a crap player. Yeah. Mm. But why would they sell us a player that's good? And see, the most we can get here is a player from Tottenham.
Yeah. Harry Kane.
Yeah, but as if. As if.
Okay. Next question, I suppose, for Tiwa and Julie.
I was going to say.
Should Arsenal be expected to challenge for the title after they spent the most?
Where is title? That's everyday question, title,
that's
man.
Question. I know it's from Faye. Of course.
No, because course. Why? Where are you seeing title?
Okay.
We can't, like, no.
Some Arsenal
fans I'm ready.
Wait, have we spent the most money?
Yeah. We have.
Even still, we finished eighth before. We finished, where's title? Because now jump. We're just going to jump honestly, from there to be doing title.
Like, we need to take time, you know? Try and reach what's in front of and us. And even that, we had, all the way up there.
Last season, we had Brighton and Wolves very, very close and coattails in terms of Europe. You never know.
I mean, look.
Brighton are definitely one to watch as well.
So, how much Arsenal spent chasing?
I think it was like 200 and...
No, chasing Champions League football.
So, under Arteta?
Just chasing Champions League football.
Under Arteta.
Every single season, Arsenal spent 150 million. Even
only
over.
Only the last three.
That's cap.
Exactly. Only the last three seasons have we spent 150 million.
Yes. Very, very
but
important.
But Chelsea spent 200 million for the last three
months. No. Just one.
No. This is about to be your third.
No, last season we only bought Lukaku.
How much did it cost?
200
million.
We called it 97.
Huh? 98.98.
Whatever.
You never remember that one.
But the thing is,
we smacked it on our heart, man.
Last season we only bought Lukaku and then the Spanish guy.
I heard and.
That's it, on loan. That's it.
So
we didn't spend 150 million.
Whack. God damn.
Oh, yeah, poor man.
Anyway, okay. Arsenal spending a lot of money chasing top four. Maybe their ambition should be a bit higher.
No, their ambition to be get top four.
So how much would you need to spend to win the league?
God knows.
I don't know, money.
Honestly.
It's a lot of money. Like Arsenal do play down their stuff though.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not saying you should win the league.
Support them.
The league stuff is like, people saying you should win the league is crazy, but last season you actually had enough to get top four, you just didn't get top four.
Yeah.
So would you not say then that they're spending to catch
the
Chelsea's?
Yeah. So that's but
that's
your third, it counts.
Them a lot of money. Million, yeah. Then they would need to spend another 200 million to catch the Liverpools and Cities of the league. Would you look at it like that? Because
I hear you.
Was that far behind.
I hear you, but last season, like, let's say people thought you lot were going to finish ahead of Spurs last season, and the difference between Spurs and Chelsea wasn't actually that much in terms of actual points.
Mm, yeah.
So, like, you spending two...
It was three points.
3 points between Chelsea to Arsenal.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what
and that was, that's what I mean. So, and that's 3 to 5. So, you lot spending 200 million should put you not in that you win the title, but like you should be
comfortable,
more than comfortable for
well,
like,
said that,
like
in
yeah, but like, that's
but
the
like
point.
Arsenal fans are saying, oh, if we get top, it's not like it should be a if we,
yeah,
get,
that's what I said. We should
when we get top,
when we get
when we get top,
that's the thing though. That's why I literally said the competition should be getting top four. That's the whole point.
But do you not feel like Arsenal fans play it down
because people are mad, innit?
Yeah, I feel like people are
but the thing is, people have to do this thing where like Arsenal spent a lot of money to try to get top four. But then we lost top four to Spurs by 1 point. Them two, they've also now spent money as well.
Yeah.
So is it not the same kind
it's
of thing
the same
there
kind
then?
Of...
But not as much money as Arsenal.
How much did they spend this season?
Spurs.
They spent
the
money
second
on...
Highest spenders
second
on
highest.
They spent
money.
Second highest.
And if, where there is a bit of confusion about Tottenham's transfer spend, is that they've signed Christian Romero
in this season,
in this window, and that hasn't added to their transfer
spending.
If it does add to their transfer spend, they become.
They got over, no? Yeah.
So Spurs, who already had, like, yeah, but let's not front it. Spurs are nonsense, but they had a world class attack. And that's, they already had that, so they're adding money to. So, if they already had that,
all I'm hearing is
they added more to it. There's no excuses. You want to be doing nonsense.
I agree they do have a
so what I'm saying is,
they do have a world class attack. Yeah,
Arsenal think should be getting top four. So they don't get it, flame all they want. But the whole thing is like you jump from saying from Arsenal, the whole banner was 8th, 8th, 5th. So now we're meant to go 8th, 8th, 5th. I said
Leicester went from what to first.
Well, Leicester's one in a million. Let's not be serious.
You ain't getting that again.
Last question of the night, ladies. It's another Chelsea question, but you know.
Oh my gosh, I'm working overtime today.
We cater to our listeners. A Chelsea fan wants to know, how much is Tuchel to blame regarding Chelsea's attack not working out?
Not that much, in my opinion. He didn't buy these players. He had one window, one signing in attack. It didn't work out. But he didn't buy Pulisic. He didn't buy Ziyech. He didn't buy Werner. He didn't buy Cho. He didn't buy any of these players.
What I'm hearing is a can't coach.
Similar to Moyo, would you not say, when managers come out in press conferences and they praise and say that they're happy with set attackers and they don't want to get rid of this and they want to keep set person at Chelsea, does he then not take the onus? Do they not then become his players if he's expressed gratitude towards them?
When a new business takes over and you need to pay your bills, you hate your job, do you say, I don't want a job? No, you don't. You've got to play the system. After this season, let's see what he does. Then,
how bad is your attack? Like, your opinion?
How bad is the attack?
Good or bad? How is it?
Like, out of what? Like, what
like,
we did?
Like, out of 10. Yeah, out of 10.
Like, you see when you're hungry, right?
No, but
simple numbers. You see when you're hungry and you have no money, you're diving in.
I don't want to hear this.
I'm being real. So
you see when you're hungry and you have, like, £1.50, it's either diving into the bin or, like, begging for more money. That's the level.
You know what this is? That's sweet. Numbers. Give me. Out of 10.
I think our attack's about 3. Actually, no, wait. No, we've got Sterling now. So it's gone from a 3 to a 6.
So you spent 200 million.
Do you like your team?
Under the old regime.
I don't know. But then, because I keep hearing this, is like your attack is not a 3, in my opinion. It's at least a 5-6.
No. Now we've got Sterling. It's a 6.
There's a 5-6.
Now we have Sterling.
We ran up to a 6. And I'm going to add it to... Is Tuchel not meant to be a good coach? Is he their coach?
Like, realistically, this is about the same kind of attack that we're looking at that still ended up winning the Champions League are we still saying it's dog? Like,
or? It's not a fluke. It's not winning Champions League isn't a fluke. You have to be consistent across that. You have to be consistent. Doesn't mean that attack was actually better. We had Giroud, we had Tammy, we had better players than we do now.
Tammy out of that place.
Tammy even played.
He didn't play.
He
put his kit on afterwards. He didn't play.
I never said I wanted him back. I said it's a better attack.
So we should bring him back.
So why is he not here?
They egged him out.
Yes, he's now found his level, and I'm very happy for Tammy.
Found his level.
Yeah,
he's balling at Roma.
So he wasn't up to scratch at Chelsea then?
No.
How can your attack be better than they are?
It was better. We had Giroud. We had different options.
Okay.
Right now, we don't have that many options.
Yeah, options.
I hear that. No, they don't. Not in strikes, though. No.
Letting go of Giroud is looking like one of the biggest mistakes.
But Giroud going, by the way, Giroud would have stayed as well, yeah? But he actually started... Tuchel actually started benching the hell out of him. That's what I'm saying. Like, even the attackers that you're saying now were better before. It's Tuchel that pushed them out.
But this is what I'm saying. I think
when Tuchel came in, he thought the attack was better than it was. So he thought, I don't need Giroud. Like, I've got all of these.
He liked Werner a lot. I don't know why his tuna changed that. Because
they fell out. They fell out big time in pre-season.
At this point, what does he want?
What I'm hearing is Tuchel's getting an excuse for not being able to coach an attack.
Okay, concentrate on your top four, man. Don't get upset now. I'm not getting upset. I don't give a shit.
You are.
You don't swear. You know, for a team, we can swear.
Honestly, it's
my belly's hot.
My belly's not hot, man. I'm very calm.
Okay, let's wrap it up there. So thank you guys for listening. Please do give Gold Diggers a follow on Instagram at GoldDiggersUK _, on Twitter at GoldDiggersUK, and on TikTok at GoldDiggersUK. And we will see you guys next week.
Whoop whoop!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.